So, posture. So I'll talk about meditation posture, seated posture. Maybe if there's time, a little bit about standing. There are considered to be four dignified posture for meditation, and that is to stand, sit, walk, and lay down. So all those postures are postures to meditate in. And then the Buddha talks specifically also about generally paying attention to posture in daily life as well, where he lists those four, and then he lists everything in between, whatever that might be. And the idea being that it's actually quite valuable to bring attention to our posture. Our posture expresses a lot, and it can be subtle, and it can be really gross, turn my elbow to my shoulder to you and cross my arms. And I mean, this conveys something, right? I'm just, nothing's going on. I'm just kind of like, making myself comfortable. But, or there's all kinds of things, leaning forward a little bit and expresses something. And, your hands, you might be kind of someone's telling you some deep, terrible, difficult challenge things they've never told anyone before, but goes on for a while, and your hands begin expressing a lot. You're tapping your fingers on your knee, and something's being conveyed there, maybe unconsciously. So by bringing attention to how our posture is disposed, what we're doing with our posture and our physically, it's a window into what goes on internally. And so we can learn a lot about ourselves this way. And this is true in meditation, in our meditation retreat as well. How you sit at a meal, or how you sit, on the deck looking at a, at the, just having tea. You might pay attention. It might be expressing something that you're maybe a little surprised to do. Sometimes when people are, for example, depressed, they'll take a depressed posture. What happens if you change that? What if you take an alert posture? What happens to the depression, the sadness you might have? There's this wonderful interplay between our posture and our emotions, and it can go both directions. One can affect the other. The reason to talk about it here is mostly so that you don't end up meditating with unnecessary discomfort. And so I'll talk about different pointers about how to meditate in a seated position. And what I ask you to do is don't listen to me and then assume that there's going to be a perfect posture, that if you could just find it, you'll never be uncomfortable ever again. Discomfort is part and parcel of practicing on retreat. And I'll talk a little bit more about practicing with discomfort. But there's no perfect posture, so learning how to work with and practice with some degree of discomfort is a really important part of this process. And as I like to say, if you're only free when you're comfortable, you're not really free. So if we want to really discover the kind of freedom Buddhism is pointing to, you have to learn how to have certain kind of freedom and equanimity, even when things are not going well and things aren't comfortable and your body is maybe even in pain. But unnecessary pain is unfortunate. So some people, just a little adjustment in their posture, a big adjustment in posture can make a big difference in how much discomfort they have. So I'll go through various points for sitting in a chair and sitting on cross-legged. And then I'll talk a little bit about working with, teeny bit about working with pain. So the classic, I think, association of meditation, Buddhist meditation, is sitting cross-legged. And I actually recommend that you don't sit cross-legged. We kind of, it's a convention to call how I'm sitting now cross-legged. The legs are actually not crossed. I'm sitting here. It's so, one leg is in front of the other. And that puts the least amount of torque on the knees and on the hips. And so that puts the least amount of strain. Some people can sit full lotus, which is a beautiful thing to do. Some people can sit half lotus, one leg up. Foot up on the other thigh. But you're most symmetrical by sitting what's called Burmese fashion. Some people call it tailor fashion, because I guess tailors used to sit this way. But here we're doing this. The art of it is, if possible, do it in such a way that you have support under your knees and under your butt. So you have a tripod. And the tripod gives the most stability. And it has a lot to do with how open your hips are. If your hips are not so open, you want to sit higher. And if your hips are quite open, it works well to sit pretty low. And so you can build height. You can take, some of these are higher than others. Some of them, they have these little square brown support cushions that you can put underneath and you can build height. Some people I've seen use two of these, one on top of the other. And the idea is to do something that tips your pelvis forward a little bit. And the idea with these here is they're kind of, think of them as kind of sloped. And so you're kind of sitting on the front half of it where it's kind of sloped downwards. And that helps tip the hips forward a little bit, which helps bring the knees down. And so it depends how high you need to be. And then if your knees don't go down, it's fine. Then you want to get something to put underneath them so they're not hanging up in the air. And you can just put something on like this or underneath both. And that works out pretty well. And some people have an injury and this helps to do something like this. And certainly if you're having a lot of trouble with your knees and your hips, there are hip opening exercises, yoga exercises you can do that can open up your hip. Maybe you know them and that can help. But when you sit down to meditate, one thing you can try doing to help is that you want the rotation, if your knees hurt, you don't want the rotation to happen mostly in your hip joint, not in your knee. So before you sit down, if you sit like this and kind of try to pull yourself, if you can, up and out of the hip joint. So you're kind of making a stretch there, maybe a wiggle a little bit, kind of loosen it up in the hip joint a little bit, and it works. And then you take the first leg down, and you could just kind of just yank up at the ankle, yank it up and flop it down. But then what you're doing is then you're twisting at the knee a lot. So you don't want to do that. Rather, what you want to do is try to have the rotation happen mostly in the hip. And so you can go like this a little bit, also opens up the hip joint. And then as you come, put your knee down, lean forward with the knee like this. And then straighten up. And then more of the action is in the hip. And it's easier with the second leg. I like to kind of sometimes go like this and kind of pull myself up out of it. And then again, this rotation, I mean, this swaying back and forth opens things up. And then leaning with, going with the knee down, and then straightening up. And also it might work, especially if the pain is in the front leg, is sometimes it's nice to put your foot dangling over the edge of these mats. It kind of creates a little bit more of a natural curve at the ankle, which then travels up your lower leg and makes it a little bit easier for the knee as well. Or you can take your hand on your knee and just kind of grab it and kind of twist it in the direction that kind of feels like it opens up the joint a little bit. Turn it around. Some people also find some relief by putting their hands and pulling up the thigh muscle and the calf muscle and separating them away from each other. So there's a little bit more space here as well. You can't see? So you take your calf and your thigh muscles, pull it apart. Some people find that helpful. So there's all these little things. And then little movements in the feet can make a big difference. You can bring your knees further apart. Some people find that more useful. Some people bring the knees close together. Have your legs, your feet further from your body, or really pulled in close. So all these different things can work. And then also, again, it's like kind of what I said, you can also, how you have the leg here, the feet. So should the feet be towards the ceiling or the feet be towards the wall? It makes a difference in what goes on, where it twists and all that. You know, I don't know the number, so I don't know how to do this. Guess I'm number one, so if you make it wrong, you should go back to one. See, I can't see from here. I have no idea how this works. I have not. So if I do, what happens if I do zero? Does that take it out? Further out still. So does that work? So this is good now? So, and then one thing that's useful for any posture you're in is if you start feeling some strain in how you're sitting, alternate with another posture through the day. Maybe a few sits a day, sit in a chair if you're sitting mostly on the floor. Or if you're sitting cross-legged, then it's nice to sometimes alternate by going on your knees, and you can either sit on your knees directly. It's a little bit hard. You can take one of these round cushions and put in between your ankles and sit down on them. And that works very well. There's also benches that you can sit on that has kind of the same effect. And here some people find that there's a lot of pressure on their knees or pressure on their ankles. So if you go forward in front of these mats, so your shins are, your knees are in front of it, that can take some of the pressure off the knees. The pressure then is on the shins, but maybe that feels better than the knees. Or if something's funny with your toes or your ankle, you can go back and have your toes drape over the back here. And if you want both, you fold these in half. And then you can do, I've done that. And then you have your in the front, and or getting a second one, so you have even more drop, for your in the back. It's kind of a fun thing to do. If you're sitting on these round cushions, there are two types. There's ones that are filled with buckwheat seeds and ones that are filled with kapok. And the buckwheat seeds kind of shape themselves kind of, for some people's bottoms, shape around them nicely and carry the weight in a nice way. Some people will prefer the kapok. They give a nice firm bottom. So you can experiment with the two of how you sit with a kapok. There's also half moon cushions, I think. I think they have a few up in the shelves there. And for a long time, I sat with those because it spread the weight kind of evenly throughout the backs of the thighs and the butt. And so there wasn't like a lot of weight on one little place. And so over the decades that I've had trends of how I've sat for 10 years, this decade, 10 years, that decade, I sat for a long time with the half moon. And then for a long time, I liked having almost all the weight and sitting on the tailbone. That was really good for a while. Then it didn't work anymore. So it's all these different ways. So if you're sitting in the chair, the idea is it is always you want to be able to sit in a way that gives you a feeling of stability. And sometimes with sitting in a chair, you not only can get a feeling of stability, it's also possible to get a feeling of strength, which is shouldn't be underrated. You feel strong when you're sitting here. I think it's easier to gather yourself in the present moment if you have some modicum of feeling strong and upright. And so they say that the soles of the feet should be on the ground. You don't want to cross your legs here. It's a little bit too casual. It doesn't bring enough attention to the posture. And then ideally, your knees are slightly lower than your hips, and because that puts a nice little curve in your lower back or supports that natural curve there. If the knees are higher than hips, it pushes out the lower back, and you can build up a strain over time if you do that. So get some height. And if you're tall, and if you're short, we have these Maybe you can hold up yours and as many as you need. There's a foam, hard foam rectangles really well to have under your feet and give support if you're, you know, if you need it. So either build height on the chair or get height off the floor, whatever you need. And then there is some advantage to not using the backrest if you can avoid using it. And because it's something about being self-reliant and the attention that goes required to hold yourself upright, it means you're calling kind of subconsciously a certain kind of attentiveness all the time that keeps you in the present moment, slightly more helpful for it. Once you kind of go lean back into the backrest, that attention is not needed anymore. And so you don't get an extra little kind of support for attention. That it also makes you a little bit more self-reliant, which is kind of a goal for this practice. And it's kind of maybe silly to emphasize this does it, but it makes a little difference that in terms of working with all kinds of things. Many people use the backrest because they have to, because of back problems or something. And you're welcome, of course, you're welcome to use the backrest. These backrests here, they go back a little bit, which is, I don't think, is so ideal for meditation. So some people will use these wedges here and to put it behind them in such a way that they get a little more of a straight back. Some people find these wedges are really good for sitting on the chair to get height, and because then you get this, again, this curvature of your lower, of your hip a little bit, that kind of makes you help you feel kind of a little bit more kind of supported for the rest of your back. But if you want to use the backrest, here's a couple of tricks. One is to go, put your lower part of your back as firmly as you can against the backrest. If you're short, you want to get some supports. Put some of these behind there so you can get it just coming out a little bit. And then lean like this, stick yourself in as far back as you can get yourself, and then snake up. And as you do that, you'll feel a pressure against the backrest and the lower part of the chair. And that pressure is strong. It tends to lift the rest of the torso upright. And kind of this feeling of uplifting is very nice, that can make you feel kind of open and present and nice. And you're getting extra support for holding yourself upright. If you need the entire backrest, of course, you're welcome to do that. An interesting kind of little trick is to get a towel or something. You roll it up in a coil, in a roll, and then you take it and between your shoulder blades or wherever you need. I guess this doesn't work for me, but anyway, the idea is to put something back there along your spine that has your shoulder blades kind of rolling back around it a little bit, and that brings the spine in a little bit, that opens the chest and creates a very nice support and allows something for some people the deep to relax that's normally doesn't have a chance to relax. So it's a way of using support that's helpful. Some people have neck injuries of different kinds, and then it's kind of interesting to do is to go and sit all the way back over the chair against the wall, and then take something like this and put it like this and lean back. And then the pressure is off your neck. Your neck can just relax. If there's an injury. If some people have, shoulder injuries or something in the arm, and whether in chair or on the floor, like scoliosis, sometimes people have. And can it be helped by having be lopsided this way, to have like one arm on a cushion like this, and that kind of correct for some things, either releases the tension on injury or kind of corrects a little bit the scoliosis, so it's easier to sit. A lot of people carry a lot of tension in their shoulders, and they roll forward on the computer all the time or something. And so it's pretty common for people in meditation retreats to feel pain in their shoulders and shoulder blade area. And some of that you have to learn to be patient with, because chronically tense muscles go numb, and as they wake up and relax, they start hurting. So you have to kind of just be patient with some of that. If But some of it also can be alleviated by just having your shoulders in a better position. And here's another little trick. And that is you take one shoulder as far close to your ear as you can. And then keeping your shoulder up, stretch that arm forward straight out as far as you can. And then do a big windmill. And as you come down, let it stretch you backwards, but turn your palm up to the ceiling. And then placing the palm up on your lap. And if you do that, you probably feel that that shoulder is a little more open than the other one. And that kind of puts it in a nicer position. So remember, you have to put your shoulder has to go up first, then stretch forward, then up. And as you come down, stretch it back, but also turn the hand upward, palm upward, and come down. So you're welcome to do that a couple of times, you know, during the sitting, if this you feel might help you. Not more than that. We don't want Don Quixote will come. And the hands, you can do anything on the hands where they're, you know, comfortable. I've gone through decade-long trends with my hands, where it's hands together in front of my belly. Hands on my knees, like I have now, different places on my knees, hands down, hands up. So I think it all changes depending, I don't know, my age or who knows what's going on for me. But it just feels different things, feels right for me. But one of the things, regardless of where your hands are, you might want to be careful that your hands are not pulling you forward. If you're sitting cross-legged, the distance from your shoulders to your hand, to your ankle, if you have it resting on the ankle, might be far, and you might be pulling you forward slightly. And if you take something like this and put it underneath you, it doesn't have to be as big as this, but something that brings your hands up a little bit, that makes it a little bit less likely for you to roll forward or collapse forward. And the same thing, if you have your hands on your knees, if you have them too far forward, that also pulls you the rest of the torso forward. So if you want to bring your hands back a little bit so that it made it easier to stay upright. The head is, should be squarely on the shoulders. Where else would it be? But heads do all kinds of interesting things. But the most common one is if the head is somehow, if you're leaning forward a lot, so the head is in front of the center of gravity, your head is actually heavier than you probably realize. And so, you know, the principle, if you take a big watermelon and you hold it like this, you can't do that very long. But if you hold it close to the center, you can hold it much longer. And so the same thing with the head. So if the head is really lined up nicely, less muscles are involved to hold you in place. But if you're like this a lot, these muscles are going to get tired in the back here. So you want to get your head, and the idea is to have your ears lined up with your shoulders. That's kind of the ideal place where it works. And it can be nice also to pull your head back a little bit and tip your chin down, or pull the head back a little bit and open up space between the last vertebrae of the spine and the skull. Some people talk about having, imagine there's a string from the crown of your head up to the ceiling that's pulling you up a little bit. Some people, an interesting thing to do is during the sitting at some point, maybe when the bell rings or something, is open your eyes and see, look straight, what you think is straight ahead. And if straight ahead is the ceiling, your head is tipped back. If straight ahead is your heels, you're probably, you know, leaning forward too far. If straight ahead is the window over there, then you're turned a little bit too much on the head. And some people just go sideways like this. So if the world seems sideways when you open, then it's actually you. And so all these kind of, you want to try to keep it kind of balanced. It helps in many, many ways. And in our tradition, we tend to meditate with the eyes closed. You're welcome to meditate with eyes open. If it's open, keep them relaxed. My recommendation is you have 45 degrees down towards the floor, half open, with a very loose focus, like you're not focusing on anything in front of you. It's like they say, focus like you're looking at a mountain far in the distance. So then pain. One of the discomforts that can happen is the legs falling asleep. And if they fall asleep, the important to note, don't stand up quickly. There was a woman once on a retreat who broke a small bone in her foot because she collapsed in her foot that wasn't holding her up. And but just, you know, shake your leg, massage it. And generally the sensations will come back pretty quickly within a couple of minutes so that everything's back. You can wiggle and stuff like that. But don't get up, you know, wait, don't get up until you have sensations in your legs. Generally, the kind of numbness goes away. The feet falling asleep goes away after some period of time, some days, a few weeks, a few months of regular sitting. It just kind of needs to work itself out. Sometimes adjustments in how you sit make a difference because maybe you're pinching the veins a little bit, blood flow. But the important point is that I want to say is that if the sensation, if you're numb, and it lasts more than a couple of minutes, it's like 3-4 minutes and it's still numb, then you're probably pinching a nerve, and it's not just a circulation issue. And you never want to pinch a nerve. You can create lasting damage if you pinch a nerve. And so if you have that kind of, it lasts that long, it's like 3, 4, 5 minutes after the sitting, then be sure you never sit and have that kind of discomfort again. It might just be a very small adjustment you need or a big adjustment, but you never want to have the numbness that might be nerve pain, nerve pinching. It's rare, but it has been known to happen. It's mostly happened in Buddhist or practice communities where there has not been a strong emphasis on mindfulness. Some of them have a lot of focus on concentration or toughing it out or something. So if you have a lot of mindfulness, usually you kind of can really feel the difference between pain that has a danger signal in it and pain that doesn't have a danger signal. If there's a danger signal in the pain, or you're not sure, change your posture during the sitting. But if you kind of say, well, it's painful, sure, but yeah, it's really painful, but I don't think there's any danger here, then it might be fine to sit with it. If you're sitting with a lot of pain and you get up, and by the time you go down the steps or by the time you reach the steps, the pain has gone away, no deal. No problem. But if the pain persists beyond that length of time, then you have to be a little more concerned that you might be damaging yourself, injuring yourself. So then again, you want to be careful not to have that kind of pain again, or not let it persist for so long. And so there might be pain, or there will be pain as you meditate here. Don't take it as a surprise or an affront or an offense to you. It's part of the deal. You don't have to sit with pain. There's no requirement to sit still. You're welcome to change your posture if you'd like to. But if you feel that there's a good opportunity now to sit with pain and work with it, work with yourself, understand your reactivity, learn how to have more equanimity or patience with it, if you feel that the opportunity is there, then you might want to take the opportunity. But it's really up to you. And you can learn a tremendous amount by meditating with pain about yourself. But you don't have to be stoic about it. You don't have to be competitive about it. You don't have to be defend your image as a good meditator. It's only if you feel inspired. Okay, today's a day I've been having pain for years, and I always move as soon as my pain is there. And so I think I'm going to spend a few minutes with it this retreat, get to know it better, get to know myself better, and my reactivity, my beliefs that come into play. And and then you're always welcome here at in the meditation hall during a meditation sit. You're welcome to hopefully quietly stand to do standing meditation. And standing meditation is, just basically means you're doing the same kind of mindfulness practice, but you do it standing. And though some people say that like it, that when you stand, you don't lock your knees. but you keep your knees a little bit bent. Other people say it's good to lock your knees when you're doing it because then you're kind of more still or something. Those are the two choices, right, with your knees. So you have to figure out what works best for you. But one of the nice things about standing, there's a lot of subtle movements that involve keeping you kind of upright and to kind of get absorbed in those little movements rather than with the breathing. Sometimes it's a nice way of being really present. And then once you feel ready, you can sit down again or just stand the whole time, whatever you like. And I think that's probably enough. There's 10 minutes before the next sitting. Kim and Ying are here and myself. We can stay here and go around to where you're sitting to look at your posture or have some answer some questions for you if you'd like. And we can do probably some of you. And if you have questions about your posture, it's a kind of good thing to bring to the teachers when you have your practice discussion. And sometimes it's hard for a person to see for themselves what they're doing with their posture. Someone from the outside can see better. For example, I spent a lot of time leaning like this. And in Zen, they correct your posture in the meditation hall. And so they correct my posture. And then I swore that now I was leaning the other direction because I got so, this was normal. So anyway, so just having someone check is good. So we'll stay here. We can check. We can answer questions. And otherwise, you've been here so much sitting, you don't have to come back for the next sitting. If you want to do a walking meditation instead, that would be fine. Thank you.
It might be a little bit difficult to see what Gil and Ying and Kim are doing in the hall. So this might be a good time to do a little bit of walking yourself before the next sitting session starts at 11:45. And as Gil suggested, those of you who are here for this, maybe you'd like to do some walking instead so you aren't sitting for several hours at a time. Okay.